Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's Friday. There is a lot going on. The Braves have won 9 of 10. They are now 3.5 out of the lead after winning 3 of 4 from the Mets. And, Mike, as we're excited about what happened last night, we get word this morning that Marcell Ozuna has an issue. Now, we never rush to judgment on this show, and the Braves have put out a statement, guys, in regards to Ozuna, saying we are aware of the arrest this morning and are still gathering all of the facts pertaining to the incident. Our organization takes these matters very seriously and are obviously disappointed by the situation. As a legal matter, we'll have no further comment until the process is complete. Now, everybody that's been hitting us up on social media is like, he's gone. He's done. There's no way that the Braves can continue on with Marcell Ozuna. And if you're going, well, Dukes and Bell, what did he do? Because you haven't heard.
Right.
Last night, guys, in Gwinnett, the mugshot is out there. He was arrested on DUI. So, again, we'll figure out, the Braves will figure out what they want to do and where this is going to go, Mike. But, you know, in the midst of everything that's going on, the Astros in town, we got another big series. This is the last damn thing we need to be worrying about.
You big dummy. Yeah, man, he's already on, like, on a double-secret probation. Actually, technically not in Sandy Springs because the probationary period is over from the domestic situation that was adjudicated over his estranged wife. You know, as I said earlier, I'm not going to get sanctimonious about DUI because luckily I knock wood, I've never had one, but I know I've been out behind the wheel when I shouldn't have. And unless you're perfect, maybe some of our listeners have too. Not proud of it, but I don't get sanctimonious about this. But when you have a screw up like he does and it's public, you kind of have to be walking the thin and narrow line. And Carl, it's one thing again, if this dude was hitting 300 and was a vital part of this team, some people would actually be a little sanctimonious, but he's not. He's struggling. I'm pretty sure the Braves are going to get rid of him. I think they're just going to have to eat it because I think at some point this thing becomes an embarrassment to the organization.
Yeah, we are winning despite what Marcell Ozuna is giving us. And, you know, the irony to this is when I told you guys that that he was coming back to this team because the investment was just too much once he was cleared and the Braves said, listen, he's going to be a part of our team. I told you guys that's what had to happen simply based on the fact that he had paid his penance. But now, Mike, this new incident in the midst of another, you know, division championship, possibly another pennant chase, it's just a lot, man. It's a lot to take on. And I know this becomes a distraction for his teammates. It's completely unfair today as we get ready to take on the Astros that guys are having to answer questions about Marcell Ozuna and what they think and what's going to happen when, in fact, they should be focused on what's at hand. So here's the deal. It was 4:30 a.m., okay, when this happened. He was booked into the Gwinnett County Jail. Charged with DUI and failure to maintain a lane and was released on $1,800 bond. So, again, the Braves put out the statement, we will not spend all day on this. It is something we needed to talk about to start the show because a lot of Braves fans were saying, Dukes and Bell, what's going to happen?
Right.
He's 31. He's in the second year of a four-year, $65 million contract. Now, you can easily say now, oh, well, that was a stupid deal. But at the time when he came over and helped us, Mike, this made sense, and we thought the universal DH was coming. It did.
Right.
But the reality is he's only hitting 214. It's just not good enough. And now with this, I just don't see a future.
And that's the thing. You know, he was a guy that in 2020, now I know it was, and the critics would say, look, if you take him and extrapolate those stats over the full season, would he have had a slump? Would he have cooled off? But he didn't. At that time, you could just go with what he did, and what he did was right up there with Freddie Freeman for MVP-type numbers. So it was a no-brainer. He's a guy that, you know, in today's launch angle of baseball, yeah, you're going to get some strikeouts, but you're going to get a lot of home runs, kind of like Duvall. The only thing that irks me about him, and that's why I'm kind of more now than ever ready to just say adios, I remember this guy with the Marlins. He was like a Gold Glove caliber fielder. He was not the embarrassment in the field. So how does that become a thing? Are you lazy? You're not putting the work in? Ron Washington works with everybody, and we got one of the best defensive coaching staffs in baseball. So the dude's a complete liability in left field. So, as you said, not hitting, a lot of just useless at-bats. Most fans roll their eyes when he comes to the dish. And then you throw this on top of it. It's kind of a recipe for, like, a pink slip.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We are also on the gram, guys, and across all other social media platforms. We'll talk plenty about the Astros coming in. We go from one big series to another. But what about last night, Mike? The young guns, Michael Harris and also Vaughn Grissom, coming up big again. And I actually thought Grissom was the MVP last night.
He hustled
all the way from first base. You know, Michael Harris gets the go-ahead double in the seventh inning. But that score with Vaughn Grissom going all the way from first, that was just effort. That was just smart base running. And he made it happen, man. And these two guys continue to affect the Braves every night.
Well, that's just it. I mean, it was what would normally be just a single. You know, it was a ball that was – it kind of died out there beyond the infield. And as you said it, man, Vaughn Grissom just kept the gas out. Pedal to the metal, kept cooking. You knew that Ron Washington was going to let it fly. Make the defense make a great play. Make them execute. For some reason, they cut it off, too.
Yep.
And that added to it. But, hey, man, that's aggressive. This is a game that's more serious, obviously. It's more intense. You felt it at a playoff atmosphere. Huge moment. You know runs are at a premium. And once you got DeGrom out of the box, Lugo came in, you just felt like you got a chance. You know, and aside from, like, the two singles, and, hey, by the way, Grossman got a base. Grossman scored the first run of the game.
He's been balling.
He's been doing a job. But getting back to Grissom. Grissom and Harris show, as I said on Twitter last night. Tell you what, though. A little nervous when Mitcher had the runner on base on second. Oh, that double, I was freaking out. And then later on, Kenley Jansen, I think there were a lot of fluctuating heartbeats around Metro Atlanta, but they bring home the W.
Jansen, 27 saves on the season, guys. 31 chances. Statistically, he has been one of the best closers. But to Mike's point, last night, Lindor gets a single. Pete Alonso gets that blooper. Nobody makes the play. It drops.
Right.
We get lucky because Acuna ends up throwing, you know, to second to get the force out. And then he strikes out Vanderbach or Vogelbach. And then you go, uh-oh, here comes McNeil. You know, you still got a guy on, and it was a pinch runner at that point. And he had to fight out of trouble, man. He did it. But I know, to your point, a lot of Braves are fans, and we were texting. You were like, is he going to blow this? You know, what's going to happen? I trust Jensen, but he's done this a couple of different times, and some of this hasn't been his fault. There have been times where Snit has used him because other relievers have screwed up.
Right.
No, we're not going to do that.
Come on, Snit.
But Minter in the eighth inning, and then he brings in Iglesias that gets the matchup he likes, and that worked out perfectly. And then he went with Kenley, as we said. Yes, he does give you a little nerve. The thing, I will say this. We've been giving, you know, Buck Showalter a lot of praise, been pushing a lot of right buttons. I thought you should have certainly pinched for Alonso, pinch run sooner, and then try to steal base and put more pressure on the Braves. Because let's be honest, we could run all day on Kenley Jansen with that crazy motion of his.
It is.
So that was one thing where I thought the Mets, you know, may have missed the beat there. Frank Corr brought that up last night on Bally Sports.
All right, we got to talk about pitching. Because all season long, all we've heard here in the ATL is the Mets have better pitching. Max Fried outpitched DeGrom last night. Charlie Morton was great in his start. And what I'm telling you is, you know, when you go seven innings, Fried, two runs, four hits, no walks last night.
All right. What more can you ask for?
That is as dominant as it gets against a very good lineup.
Now, One mistake to Kenha, that was it.
No, I know, and I know they're injured. I'm not going to make excuses. The point is, we threw our best guy out there, and he gave it to him last night. All this conversation about if we see them in the playoffs, Mike, or we have to play them, I got to tell you, I like the way things are shaping up as far as this pitching staff is concerned.
Now, the thing is, it doesn't get any easier for the Braves, and now that you've taken 3 out of 4 from the Mets. Rematch the World Series, should be an electric atmosphere over at Truist Park tonight, and you're going to get Kyle Wright on the bump against Lance McCullers. So how does this play out? The Astros, obviously, are, you know, getting into making a run. Dusty knows what he's doing. And then, of course, you got another matchup with those guys coming up on Saturday. I want to see these guys handle the pressure. It'll be Spencer Strider going up against Christian Javier. And meanwhile, the Mets taking on the Phillies. Phillies, can they do us a solid and beat up on the Mets? Well, hopefully, knock wood, we handle the Strohs.
I talked to Dusty Baker today, and I told him, you know, you guys are coming in. It's a World Series rematch. You know what he said? We don't care. Because all the guys in that Astros clubhouse, they want to not think about what happened last year. And he said, we're coming in. We got to win a series. Yeah, it looks like we're a playoff team. But I had to laugh, Mike, because he downplayed that. Listen, it is a World Series rematch. It's kind of cool. You don't usually get this the next season where you have the two teams that played for it all the next season playing, you know, at least a series. But he downplayed that. And it was like, ah, it doesn't matter. So I will see how we respond in this series because coming off of the emotion of the Mets, knowing last night how big that was, and now you're 3.5 out, we can't have a little letdown. You can't just get swept by the Astros.
Second only to the Dodgers for the most wins in Major League Baseball are the Astros. And obviously, you know, you got Verlander doing his thing. That's a team which is loaded as well. So, yeah, this is going to be a big-time series with three games against Houston.
404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Now, if you're just joining the show, we were talking with Andy and Zeno. Zeno was in for Andy today. We are going to give away a pair of Big 3 tickets here this afternoon. Now, it's not going to happen until later on, all right? We're going to give you time to get here, get you off work, give you time to get an ice-cold Hey Man Ale, which is on tap, and chill a little bit. But we're going to give those tickets away before 7 o'clock tonight. Now, again, it's the Big 3 Basketball Championship Sunday, August 21st, State Farm Arena. It features coaches Dr. J, Lisa Leslie, Gary Payton, George Gervin, and more. We had Ice Cube on the show. He was talking about all the festivities and stars that are coming into town to hang out and be a part of everything that's going on, including their celebrity game. We're going to give you tickets to go check it out. So if you want to come up here and hang out with us in Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. All right, we're coming back. Dave Archer is going to join us. We're going to talk Falcons Jets. They are practicing today in New York. They'll practice tomorrow.
I hear a lot of scraps going on today up there.
Sunday off, and then Monday is the game, our second preseason game. We're going to find out the latest from Dave Archer, analyst for Atlanta Falcons, coming up next. It is Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks Kennesaw location. Guys, come on out. We've got tickets for you. We'll be giving away between now and 7 o'clock. We'd love to get a chance to meet you guys as well. Also, we're going to give tickets away to Earth, Wind, and Fire. They are playing Lakewood with Santana, and we've got those tickets here for you in the next 35, 40 minutes, so stay tuned. Let's say good afternoon to Dave Archer. He is the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. We are getting ready for preseason game number 2. Now, that won't happen until Monday night, but Archer, our squad's up in New York. They're working out. Things are a little tense. We've seen a couple of videos, Mike and I, of things happening up there.
He's swinging on cubs.
Guys are going after it, man. It's not surprising, right? I mean, this is that point in the camp where you want to hit somebody else.
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, you're starting to realize that the season's in sight. And certainly there's guys fighting for jobs and literally fighting for jobs, it sounds like, up in New York. So, nothing wrong with that. It's better to have to dial a guy back than to have to try to find that mechanism that makes a guy go, right? So I'm okay with a few fights and a few guys getting a little hot under the collar.
Yeah, man, apparently our defensive line was getting after the Jets' offensive line. More on this coming up. Arch, are you seeing things you liked? I thought it was one of the more dynamic preseason games we've seen in about 4 years with the Falcons. Love that we had some long, sustained drives running the football. Is this what we're going to look like? I know the Lions are not good, but is this obviously what Arthur Smith wants to be the business model this season?
Well, the one thing about it, Mike, last weekend is, you know, the mantra for the Detroit Lions, if you've been watching any of the Hard Knocks, is grit and toughness and physicality. Well, Atlanta met that head on. In fact, Mac smacked them in the mouth a little bit with it from their perspective as well. Their ability to run it, as you suggested. The answer, the opening drive, I thought was really important for Marcus Mariota to go in there, direct the drive, 12 plays, 82 yards, eat up 9.5 minutes off the clock, run the football, see the quarterback make some plays, and ultimately overcome some mistakes in your own drive to put points on the board. I thought that was all encouraging. And then you saw some guys step up when they had their opportunity to play, some depth at linebacker, played at an extremely high level. We've seen a guy emerging at the corner spot in D. Alford, who could be a guy that's in the mix this weekend to play some nickel. So there's some guys surfacing, and this is what you want. You want the cliched cream rise at the top, and you want some of those guys to show their head that are going to be affect this team come opening day against New Orleans.
Arch, it wasn't an illusion last week, right? I mean, this O-line was opening holes. We ran for .168 total. I know our quarterback scrambled a little bit there, but I thought we ran the ball, and I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw from Caleb McGarry. What was your assessment?
Yeah, I think McGarry has come in with a chip on his shoulder, and why not? I've characterized a lot of these guys, they're chip on the shoulder kind of guys, and a lot of those guys are because guys you brought in that were they're highly related guys or highly thought of guys someplace else, and it didn't work out, whether it's Lorenzo Carter or Rashawn Evans or even Marcus Mariota. But Caleb McGarry would fall into that category too. He was a number one draft pick, and he's had a lot of injuries and a lot of reasons as to why maybe he hasn't blossomed like they thought he would. But he's come back with some resolve and solidified really his spot early in camp. Remember, there was a conversation that Jermaine Ifedi might be coming in to take his job, and he pretty much stunted that in the first couple of weeks. The first 10 days of camp, McGarry said, this is my spot, and then I'm going to go out and earn myself a new contract. So I give Caleb McGarry a ton of credit. And no, I don't think it's an see some of the stuff they did offensively running the ball. Remember, the quarterback's going to be a part of that. And so to apologize that the quarterback ran for 82 yards in the game between Ritter and Mariota is something you don't have to do because that's what they're going to do in the game. So get ready if you're going to defend the Falcons. It's back to having to defend sideline to sideline with the quarterback either out of the pocket throwing it, changing his launch point, or pulling it down and taking off. And both these guys are not just serviceable runners. These are guys that can break your back running the ball. We saw Mariota score, and certainly Ritter has some of those abilities as well.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's a whole different dynamic. It's not a knock on Matt. It's different because obviously Matt would stay in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. Dave Archer's with us here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline as Jets and Falcons were throwing down today. Hey, Arch, what's going to happen with Debo once he comes off the PUP list? Does he still fit this defense, or are they going to try to shop him?
Well, conspicuously, inconspicuously, however you want to term it, Mike, I'll let you be the guy that picked the right verbiage here, but he hasn't been seen. I have not seen him on the practice field. Doesn't mean that he hasn't been out there, but I've been out there a good bit, and I have not seen Debo on the field. He's on the PUP list. That's supposed to be, you know, the physical underperform, which means he's probably doing some kind of rehab someplace, somewhere. I'm assuming it's at the facility. He just hasn't come out on the field. A lot of times, you know, you're around, you're in the meetings, you're on the field, you might even be a pseudo coach to a certain extent as you try to wait and get ready for your opportunity. I haven't seen any of that. Now, it doesn't, and I'm not trying to say that he's out, because I have not gotten that from anybody. Terry Fontenot, no one has told me that Deion Jones is not in the mix. There's been some obviously speculation as to would he be available once healthy to be traded, that type of stuff. I don't have any information on that. I just know that it's awfully strange, a guy that's really one of the leaders of your team, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, I haven't seen him. So I can't give you a good solid answer on Deion Jones.
It's Monday night, 8 o'clock, Falcons, Jets. Pregame right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, starting at 6 o'clock. It's Dukes and Bell. We're visiting with Dave Archer, talking about the Falcons and Jets practicing up in New York. Injury is a part of the game, but it also can cost you a roster spot. I'm curious to know what you think about Marlon Davidson. Got his knee scoped, hadn't been around, didn't play in the first preseason game. Obviously, he's not going to play in this one. How difficult does it make for guys like him or even a guy like Mayfield who was banged up to get back and show what they can do?
Yeah, as far as Mayfield, he's been able to get himself back on the field. Carl, you guys have seen it. You've been out there. I think Jalen really maybe even came back probably maybe before he probably should have, and maybe that slowed him down a little bit. But I think he's back out there trying to be a part of that conversation, that mix. Elijah Wilkinson right now working with the ones, but I don't think Mayfield's out of the mix yet. I think Justin Schaefer will have something to say about that before the season's over with as well. But the big kid out of Georgia. But as far as Marlon Davidson goes, disappointing is, I guess, the one word that sticks out. I thought he'd be a dynamic guy along this defensive front. And when he plays, you see it. But that has not been very often. And let's not forget, this is not the regime that drafted him. So he's not necessarily endearing himself to a group of coaches and personnel people that brought him in here as a second-round draft pick 3 years ago. So I think he's in trouble, guys, as far as making this club. So that's – and whether that resonates with him and he senses that, again, that's my assessment, that he's in a little bit of trouble to make this team. We'll have to see how it plays out here over the next 10 days, 2 weeks.
Dave Arch is with us as we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Speaking of the defense and guys that are doing their jobs, is Taquan Graham having a good camp?
I think Taquan Graham has shown up doing some things. I think Derek Tangelo is a guy that you got to keep your eye on as well. I think that it's an interesting group, Mike, in the fact that, you know, Timmy Horn had to play there late in the game. They got the recovery, and they say, well, he just fell on the football. Well, go back and look at the play. Look at the penetration from Timmy Horn, 6'4", 323-pounder rookie out of Kansas by way of Charlotte. A guy who's played 50 games in college, had a really good year for Kansas State, a good defense a year ago in the Big 12. Watch for him to get some push. We know about Anthony Rush, Jarrett. So there's some good battles along that front. But, yeah, I think that Taquan Graham is holding his own, and certainly you want to see more flash plays. But those interior guys trying to eat up blocks and let these linebackers make some plays.
Arch, Dean P. said last week after that first drive, that the defense, you know, their per-yard average went down about 3 yards that they gave up to the Lions, and he talked about adjustments. Are you seeing progression there with the defensive front, the front seven? Because I think that's something everybody's concerned about, and I know Dean Pease has talked a lot about it, but he felt good after the way they adjusted and then made plays last week. Moving in the game,
well,
just to
give you, just to give you an example of some of that and his being able to adjust on the fly. I talked a little about this with Andy and Randy on Wednesday. One that got sucked into it, that Ebigaiti on the play where was Swift bounces to the outside for the Lions and scores on that opening drive. I thought Ebigaiti, the rookie, had pushed inside too far off that left or that right defensive end spot. And that was not the case at all. He did what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to collapse that side. He was supposed to have a backer and a safety scraping over the top. They were not there to make the play. Swift subsequently scores. Well, the same play happened later on in the game, and they made some coaching comments about it and talked about how we've got to make sure we're here and talked it through, and the adjustments were made. And I think that was the most rewarding thing for Coach Pease, was he made some coaching assignments and adjustments, coaching points, to how to adjust the play. They did that on the fly on the sideline and got the play taken care of. He said that was one of the more rewarding things that he took out of the game this weekend. So that might tell you a little bit about how this team is a quick study. If they make a mistake, they don't make the mistake again. And I think we're going to see more of that throughout the year.
And, Arch, just to wrap up on the offensive side, how much does this hurt Drake London not getting these reps? And will this minimize maybe what his role would be in week one?
No, not at all, Mike. I think that Drake London, you guys were out there and watched practice. Drake London looks outstanding. He's got short area quickness. He's got he's got top end speed that I think didn't people the chart. So all the things they drafted him for are still in place. I thought he was a presence in practice when he played. Made a good play on the play he got hurt on, but there's no question that Drake London will be a major factor on opening day.
Arch, enjoy New York. Have a great call. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Monday, guys. Second preseason game, Jets, Falcons. Dave Archer, appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
Cool. All right. Lots more progress, should I say, we need to see, Mike, between now and the start of the season. But there's some things we won't know until the season starts, right? It's just how football is. You can talk about it. We can prep all we want. But until the season starts, we may not know about some of the things we're talking about and concerned about.
Right. But as we said, I mean, it's only preseason. I get it. But had we gone up to Detroit and got beat 21-3, you know, what would people be saying? At least there's some progress in some areas you're looking for. That offensive line we spoke so much about, and the fact they can run the ball. We'll hopefully see more of that. It's a good test for some of the defensive players the Jets have in the scrimmage and the game on Monday night.
Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets, Santana playing Lakewood coming up. When we come back, we'll talk more about what the Braves accomplished. But can they do it again? It's Dukes and Bell.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you've not downloaded the Odyssey app, do it today. You can get access to all the things you love, including 92.9 The Game. It's simple. Go to odyssey.com. We are live at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw location. We want to interact with you guys, so come on out here. And somebody said there's a twerking contest going on. Is that true?
I'm not sure about that. I'd like to see it. Melody, I tweeted a photo of Mel, our very beautiful and awesome server.
Oh, yeah.
And guys are really grooving on that, not in a weird way, but just one of the great folks they got working here today. So come on by and grab a brew, man. Ice cold. Ice cold.
She is she's nice.
A delight.
Yes, she is.
This is why I love my job. And I love, like, we got a group text, I told you. I got 14 or 15 guys. All went to high school together. And Carl's seen, you met a bunch of these dudes. And we're all in a group text. And some guys are on Wall Street. And some guys live, you know, they're all over the country. So today, I just took that picture, sent it to my boys. I go, my office this afternoon.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can imagine what the responses were. Usually two words.
Blank you?
Yes. Generally, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so, man, coming up, we'll get into an NFL blitz. Last night, Seahawks-Bears suffered a couple of injuries. Now, I'll be honest, two things I didn't do last night. I didn't watch a lot of this, and I didn't watch episode 2 of Hard Knocks because our Braves.
I got to be honest. I think I may have seen all I needed to see from Hard Knocks in episode 1.
It may be. Yeah. But, our Braves were in such a big game last night that I did not get a chance. Now, I will watch Hard Knocks at some point, maybe this weekend. But we'll get into what else is going on, including this mysterious no return date for Tom Brady. More and more coming out about this. And now you've got his coach, Mike, kind of getting in a tizzy. Todd Bowles, you know, saying, hey, look, I'm not worried about it, but what about the guys in the locker room? Because you said he was supposed to be back, and now you're saying there's no return date. We'll talk about it coming up in our NFL Blitz, man.
He is the GOAT, but there is something to be said for being there. And just real quick, I watched a little bit of the highlights of the Bears on NFL Network. Of what I saw, same old for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Man, running for his life back there with that offensive line.
We're going to see. They went out. They tried to make some adjustments. They said, like us, it was supposed to be an open competition for their own line. But I just don't think he has enough skill position guys around him either. That's another issue for the Bears. They're the fourth worst team, or the fourth worst team in that division.
Right.
It's Packers. I call me crazy. It's Minnesota.
Right.
Right. And then you go, all right. So yeah, but are the Lions better than? Are they better than the Bears?
I mean, it would be a incremental leap, for Coach Dan and his squad. But yeah, man, the Bears. Boy, oh boy, that franchise. There's a couple of franchises. If you're for the fan base, you almost feel and wish those teams be sold.
All right, guys, coming up, Blitz is on the way. Also, Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets. Turtle behind the glass. He's back at the studio. Bo Morgan is here with us, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm loving Michael Harris, and I'm loving Vaughn Grissom. Harris gets rewarded with the big deal, the extension. Mike made fun the other day and was like, when's Grissom getting his? If he keeps playing this way, if he keeps producing, it would not surprise me if Vaughn Grissom ends up being a guy that we're talking about maybe even in the offseason, Mike. Remember, the 71-game sample size of Michael Harris was enough. But what I've seen Grissom do since being called up has been amazing.
Crucial moment last night. A couple of listeners have sent us the video to remind us. We didn't mention it at the start of the show, but in that ninth inning where Lindor leads off with the single, if you guys don't remember it, Alonso hits that pop sort of in no man's land where nobody can get to it. Harris, Acuna, Dansby couldn't get there. Grissom dekes out Lindor because he runs on contact, doesn't know it's a fly ball, and if you didn't see it, Grissom acts like he's coming to field it. Lindor slides in a second, adding more time for him to get up, and then I have to do the Bugs Bunny back to first base. So you get the force out at second because, again, the ball drops in. It's the little things.
Games.
And that's a veteran. That's a veteran savvy move.
Yeah.
And that's what Grissom pulled amongst everything else he did last night.
Let's hear Grissom scoring the game winner. This is courtesy of Bally's Sports.
Three balls, two strikes again. The pitch. On the ground. That's going to sneak into center field. Grissom on second on his way to third. They're going to wave it. Here comes the throw toward the plate. It's cut off. Throw! Save!
Electric, electric moment, man.
Well, it felt like a playoff game because it was a playoff game. This is what we've been talking about. This series was huge, and we went 3 of 4. Now, can we do it again? Meaning, can we win 2 of 3 against the Astros, who are another team, guys, that is vying for an opportunity to get back to the World Series? They remain good, Mike. The Astros have been good now for about 6 years. Right. They've had opportunities to win World Series. They won one. They played us last year. They got beat. But this is another good club that's coming in to Truist Park. Brian Snicker was talking about, how this team rebounded against the Mets. Remember, we went up there, kind of laid an egg. We didn't play well. We didn't hit. And this series was completely different. Here's Snit.
Doesn't surprise me that these guys do that. I've seen them do it a lot over the years. That was one of them weekends. I mean, it was just nothing kind of went our way. And they played really well, and we didn't. And now in this series, we played pretty well. In this series. So you just never, it's baseball. You never know what's going to happen or when something good's going to start. So it's a good series. It's like a playoff series.
It was. It's Dukes and Bell, our headline segment brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Here's the other thing as far as the Braves are concerned. We started the show with it. We'll continue to talk about it. It's, as I say, a developing story. We'll find out what the Braves are going to do, but Marcelo Ozuna was arrested and charged with DUI late last night around 4:30 a.m. And now, the Braves have put out a statement saying this is a legal matter. They have no further comment as of right now. But as Mike and I have been talking about, there's a huge investment into Marcelo Ozuna. And now you have to figure out what you want to do moving forward and how he plays into your future plans. The reality is, we're talking about young guys like Grissom and et cetera. Mike, the future's bright. I'm not going to tell you we don't need Marcelo Ozuna, but Mike, we don't need Marcelo Ozuna.
Yeah, he's just not doing a job right now. And knowing that Rosario is hitting, and we've certainly seen Grossman actually showing he can actually hit righties and lefties, which is kind of surprising. He's done a great job. He was on base, scored the first run last night of the ball game, did Grossman. If you get Ozzie Albies back, Carl, and it's going to be mid to late September, okay, you can then use Grissom in the outfield. Matter of fact, Grissom maybe his destination is the outfield if Dansby Swanson gets signed to a long-term deal. So I think I've got redundancy in left field, right, or the corners. And unfortunately for him, you need to be doing it better than the other guys because even though things played out in Sandy Springs, it maybe weren't as bad as initially thought and reported. A lot of folks were kind of lukewarm on him to begin with. And in this town, if you're not producing, it's one thing if he's batting 300, hitting 30 home runs, maybe people wouldn't be getting in his bag. I just think the guy's sort of become an embarrassment for the organization.
So Ozuna's 31.
And he's in timeout, as you just laid out.
He's 31. He's in his third season here with the Braves. He's in the second year of a four-year, $65 million deal. Coming off of the situation that, a lot of people thought he wasn't going to be able to come back from, the Braves' financial investment was, I thought, the only reason to keep him. You go to the Universal DH, you have this huge financial investment, you keep him. If he was producing, I agree with you. This might be a different conversation. But I'm going to let the Braves make this decision. I know many of you are already saying he's done, he's out, and maybe he is. But I think they'll do their research. They will do their investigating, Mike, and they'll come to the conclusion. This year, right now, he's hitting .214. Yeah. 20 home runs, 46 RBI. Dansby, Riley, just go down the lineup. All these guys have more production right now than Ozuna, who's supposed to be your DH and the guy that's supposed to be driving in runs.
And that's just it. You're not hitting home runs at the clip you need to be. So what are you doing? You're basically a zero in spikes, and that's why you haven't seen him out there. They've rolled with Grossman, lefty, whether it was lefty or righty. And I just think, he's kind of in no man's land right now. So it is a lot of money for Liberty to eat. They've been spending a lot of money. I can't complain about them wanting to try to work a deal. But, again, you can't trade him now. It's too late. Trade deadline's come and gone. You'd have to try to work something in the offseason. But here's the thing. Do you take him? What do? You're going to keep him on the roster? You're going to have him hanging around? You demote him. Put him down to Gwinnett. You got to clear right. You can't do that right at this stage of his career.
Well,
I mean, what do you do with the guy other than outright release?
Yeah,
and you eat that $40 million unless he signs some other contract down the road, which then is prorated.
So, listen, big decisions need to be made there, and only because we're in the middle of another division chase. We don't need this crap. These decisions and whatever they're going to do, and Mike, here's the deal. If they say, hey, he's not going to be with the team for a while, he's not a distraction,
right,
so be it. And if they still have to cut the check, that's fine, but he's not around, whatever they're going to do. But I got to tell you guys, and I said this yesterday, this was a benching. It's the biggest series of the season, and Marcell Ozuna, who was technically your DH all year, doesn't play. He didn't play.
No, and give Snicker credit. Snicker gave this guy. We talked to Dave O'Brien yesterday. He gave him 2 weeks, and there was 2 weeks with
two
the exception.
Weeks.
Maybe one or two hits in Miami that were big. For the most part, he's stepping in the bucket, flailing, sliders, low and outside. He was just dreadful. You're right. They gave him every opportunity to hit his way out of it, and now he's been benched. The other thing is, by the way, I'm a firm believer, Carl, like most people I think in our audience, in second chances. And we didn't rush to judgment on the situation. It was not as bad, I think, as some people initially thought in Sandy Springs. Once you finally saw the video, police sort of portrayed it as if it was a little bit worse. Look, they had a bad history, him and his wife. I'm not getting – that's his business. But this situation now, Carl, when you're not hitting and you throw this out there, I'm just curious, does the organization simply say, we'll eat the $40 million? It's a lot of money to blow out the window.
Well, a lot of people said he was gone after the charges of aggravated assault. Immediately, they threw him out. And he survived that based on the testimony.
There was a suspension for Major League Baseball.
Correct. And he paid his dues. But a lot of people said he's done because of this aggravated assault, strangulation charge that was out there. Either way, this is something new, something that they're going to have to deal with. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's take caller 5 right now for Earth, Wind & Fire tickets. Santana is with Earth, Wind & Fire, guys. They're playing at Lakewood Amphitheater. Caller 5 at 404-741-0929. Right now, you're going to win some tickets. We'll come back. NFL Blitz is next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.